Good evening once again. I must say that was nice. It was different. I will say it sounded like stripped down version of worship, but it was really, really nice. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Jamie, and your team for putting that together. I must confess, I was tempted after this morning sermon to shelf this one. Because as I sat there and Pastor Charles got up, I was like, oh, it's so nice to have him back. And then when he mentioned his title, I was like, oh no, that's the same thing I'm talking about. So I was tempted to say, well, God, I'm sure he can bring something else. But I do also believe that the Spirit of God really pressed this topic on our hearts because he wanted us to share it to the body. So I will be as bold as to say this is 2.0. And I hope we'll really enjoy it. Today is 364. We have passed 364 days. Tomorrow is the last day of the year. And what a year it has been. Like any other year, this year was filled with challenges. This year was filled with triumphs. It was filled with heartbreaks and heartaches. It was filled with failures. It was filled with sin. It was filled with commitments. I mean, people at this very moment are thinking of new commitments for next year. And it was filled with failures to meet those commitments. This year was filled with the experiencing of God's mercy and His grace. And so we are here. 365 days of the year have gone. And we're still moving forward. It's all going to end only when God calls us home to be with Him in glory. But whilst we live, what is it that God expects us to do? So we've just celebrated Christmas, and with the season of Christmas comes all the Christmas movies. In all honesty, they're all the same. It's all children, gifts, Santa, and that's a Christmas movie. But I want to highlight something about all Christmas movies that you always notice the kids. As soon as it is Christmas Day, the camera zooms into their faces, the alarm clock rings, and then boom, their eyes open, smiles on their faces, they jump out of their beds, just running into their parents' rooms, jumping on their beds, saying, Mommy, Daddy, it's Christmas. So excited for what the day is gonna bring. They rush downstairs. I don't know how they all have downstairs. They rush downstairs to the foot of the Christmas trees. They unwrap their presents and they celebrate at what their parents have bought for them. My challenge this evening is, why can't that be every day for every one of us? Waking up excited for that God has given us another day. Running out of our beds to see our family members that God has spared them too. Running down to the dinner table and praying to God for the blessings He's about to give to us. Even as the day starts and we haven't experienced them. That's the challenge I want to bring to us this evening. So our passage for this evening will be Psalm 92. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 92. And it reads, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprouts like grass and all the evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of all my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Oh God, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that even before we start, we can just proclaim that you've been faithful to us this day. We've experienced your steadfast love this morning. And God, you've really been our rock. God, as we enjoy the contents of your word, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would lead and guide us. Lord, as I speak as your mouthpiece, Lord, may you help me be a conduit of your grace. And Father, may I speak as thus saith the Lord. Please, Lord, guard my mouth and my heart from error. And Father, may this message be a blessing to those who have come to listen to it. I pray as well that you may prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive your word with much gladness, ready to correct anything that needs correcting, and ready to just praise you for what we're going to learn about you from this passage. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So every time when we get to the end of the year, there's many, many different approaches. Many are just ready for the year to end, and some are just ready to start over. Others are happy that this year and its difficulties are over, and they just have hope that the year that's coming will be their year. Psalm 92 was what we'd call a Sabbath psalm. It was not read, it was rather sang, and they would sing it on the Sabbath, celebrating the greatness of God. I believe that this is the perfect time for us to come together as a body and stop and reflect on the year that was and look and focus on finishing well. It brings great joy to the Lord when his people start the year worshiping and praising him and also end it the same way. It brings me to my first point. Gratitude is good. A simple statement, but the psalmist starts off by saying, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Growing up, we were always taught that before we receive a gift, we were to clap our hands and open up like this. And maybe in Sunday school or in school, we were taught, before we give kids a gift, we say, what do you say? And then they'll say, thank you. See, the difficult thing is, as we experience difficulties in this year, we can so easily be blinded by what God has done and lose the gratitude in our hearts. An author goes as far as saying, giving thanks is more noble and perfect in itself than petition, because in petition, often our own good is eyed and regarded, but in giving of thanks, only God's honor is. You see, we usually, when we pray in this time of the year, we say, God, this has been a difficult year. Please give me a better year next year. Or maybe, God, this has been a great year. I pray that next year will be better. God, won't you give me better health? God, won't you give me a better job? God, won't you give me better ministry exposure? But it is when we just sit and just praise God and thank him, it is in those moments where we are just to rave about his excellence and his excellence alone. Another author goes as far as saying, it is good ethically, for it is the Lord's right. It is good emotionally, for it is pleasant to the heart. It is good practically, for it leads others to render the same homage. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Are we grateful on day 364? One of the most basic features of worship is giving thanks, celebrating God's greatness. When we come to worship God, it is He who should be at the center of our worship. When God was creating and he rested on the seventh day, he rested after he looked at all his creation and he said, it is very good. What God expects of us, his people, is that we look at all that he has created. We look at all that he has done and say, God, you are very good. The caution is that we are not to be like the 9 in the story of the 10 lepers. These 10 lepers cried out for mercy from Christ, and he cleansed them and he made them whole again. But only one came back and acknowledged that it was Christ who made them well. Giving thanks to God is only a small return for the riches that he has bestowed upon you and upon me. It is good to give thanks, for his mercies we have received. As the psalmist says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, singing praises to his name. In verse 2, he says, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre. He shares with us how we are to give thanks. Number one, by singing praises of his name, either a cappella or accompanied by musical instruments. You know, it was really great to see that tonight we had a lot of other instruments missing, but we still could come and give thanks to God. The question is, if the psalmist says it is good to give thanks to God, how often do we do it? Do we only give thanks and sing praises to God when we are at church? I mean, I completely understand that Psalm 92 was a psalm that was sang on the day of Sabbath. And on the Sabbath day, as they worshiped God, they would sing the psalm. But if the psalmist says that it is a good thing to sing praises to our God, surely it must be something we do every day. The question is, how often do we stop and just sing praises to our God? This evening, how was your singing? Would you say that when God sits in heaven, he would say that, no, Jabu, your singing this evening was good. He goes on to say, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Sometimes it is very difficult to praise God. Sometimes we just don't feel like it. But probably none of us have experienced the frightening or life-threatening situations of the persecutor church. But even in the most difficult situation, I believe that the psalmist would still come and say, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. You see, what God deserves is our praise. He has shown us his steadfast love in the morning that he ordained us this day that we are to enjoy. This morning we heard of folk who have left us to be with the Lord. We are constantly reminded either via SMS or from this pulpit about folk in our church who are in constant need of prayers because they are ill or they are frail. Folks, God is good. He's been good to all of us. It was refreshing for me to visit an elderly lady who just experienced knee replacement. And while they were replacing her knee, it got infected. And now she sits there with cubes in her knee so that the infections would go. And she experiences a lot of pain. And she's basically immobile now, lying in her bed or sitting on a couch for most of her day. I mean, she has, I feel, the right to almost complain. She could be bitter. She could be angry. But what she said to me really blessed my heart. She said, Jabu, as I'm sitting here, I believe the Lord has put me in a place where I can pray for the church. Whilst I am immobile, I can sit here and pray for our country because our country needs these prayers. While I sit here, and I mean, I chuckled a little bit because I'm a youngster. She said, I can pray for youngsters like you, young couples, because you guys need prayers. And I just sat and I said, this is a woman who knows that God is good. She has tasted and she has seen the faithfulness of our God. If we struggle to praise the Lord, we must ask ourselves the question, is the Lord God your Most High? Is he the highest, the most important, the most central and controlling being in your life? If the answer is yes to these questions, then surely you must be moved to give him the glory that is due to his name. And that leads me to my next point. Not only should we be grateful for his person, but also for his wonderful deeds. Be grateful for his wondrous deeds. In verse 4, he says, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works. At the works of your hands, I will sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. Let us take some time this evening and just think about the year that was. The year that is leaving us. I can say with boldness that no one can sit here this evening and say, I have never experienced the grace of God this year. It even came to mind of a woman whose heart is filled with joy by her husband's deeds. How do you know that she's happy? You hear her singing behind the stove. You hear the glorious tunes of her happy heart. And your nose cannot deny the scent of the food prepared with love. This is exactly what the psalmist is alluding to. When we think about the wondrous deeds of our Lord, we are to be filled with joy and we are to sing joyously, for God has been good to us. Spurgeon says, it was natural for the psalmist to sing because he was glad, and to sing unto the Lord because his gladness was caused by a contemplation of the divine work. If we consider either creation or providence, we shall find overflowing reasons for joy. But when we come to review the work of redemption, gladness knows no bounds, but feels that she must praise the Lord with all of her might. Folks, the Lord's plans are marvelous. His acts, his designs are profound as his doings are vast. Creation is immeasurable and the wisdom displayed is unsearchable. When last did you just stop and say, O Lord, my God, how marvelous are your ways in all the earth? When last did we just stop and just be in awe of God, in awe of the fact that he secured our salvation? When last did we just stop and be at awe that God still works today, working out our sanctification until the day of completion? When last did we just stop and be in awe of the Lord's protection over our lives, or his provision, or that he has made promises and he continues to fulfill them? If we don't have these moments of awe before our God, it will be extremely difficult for us to go out and encourage people to praise the Lord when we ourselves haven't given him his full due. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good. Only when we have acknowledged his deeds, then will his praises naturally overflow. Matthew Henry says, we cannot comprehend the greatness of God's works and therefore must reverently and awfully wonder at them and even stand amazed at the magnificence of them. Man's works are little and trifling, for their thoughts are shallow. But Lord, your works are great and such as cannot be measured, for your thoughts are very deep and such as cannot be fathomed. Who has known the mind of God but the Lord himself? O Lord, our God, how majestic are your ways in all the earth. Brings me to my third point. Be grateful for illumination. In verse 6 it says, the stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and the evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction. The foolish man, as the psalmist here says, the stupid man or the unbelieving heart, though it boasts as it will, does not know, and with all its parade of intellect, it will not understand that one day the wicked will perish. In these verses, we need to understand, and I've had many conversations this year of people just coming up to me and saying, Jabu, why should I pursue God whilst I'm struggling? What reason do I have to pursue God when my friends who want nothing to do with God are flourishing? It's easier for me to join them and reject God and flourish. See, what the psalmist says here is, do not be fooled. For the wicked will flourish, but destruction will be their destiny. You see, you will find the wicked rise to power. They will receive the praise of men. They will be prosperous on this earth. They will look down at you, saying things like, why are you still worshiping this God when he's not blessing you? Your family is struggling. Just go out and live your best life. But folks, the Lord has numbered their days. They soon will be doomed to destruction. In verse 7 it says, though the wicked sprout like grass and the evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But as for the wicked, how can our minds endure the thought of their doom? It is forever. Destruction forever is a portion far too terrible for the mind to realize. No eye has seen or ear heard the full terror of the wrath that is to come. It is only when we ourselves fully understand the full wrath of God coming to the wicked that we will fully praise God for saving our souls. We will truly praise God that He has saved us from the doom and the destruction that is coming to the wicked. Think about a person who has survived a car crash. They leave the scene of the accident unscathed, yet the car is completely written off. They will but sing praises to God for His hand of protection over their lives. They are filled with joy and they will share stories because when they look at the state of their car, they can only be sure that the only way that they've survived, it must be the hand of God. That's what we should be thinking of. What could have been if it wasn't for Christ? What could have been if Christ did not die? This should move any believer to praise the Almighty. 364 is a long time. Many things could have been of you and of me this year, but God saw us through them, not over them, but through them. The question is, are we grateful? Verse 9 says, But you, O Lord, are on high forever. God is the highest and most enduring of all beings. Others rise and fall, but He is the most high to eternity. Glory be to God in the highest. Verse 9 says, Behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers will be scattered. I was reading through Isaiah, and you read about when God gives the prophecy to Isaiah about Babylon. And he says, Oh, how the high and mighty have fallen. How the proud will be brought low. This will be the result of the wicked. There is no hope for the wicked. Peace is but a dream for the workers of unrighteousness. Although the wicked often seem to flourish, we need to keep an eternal perspective. They will flourish only for a brief moment, but their misery will be forever. The destruction of the wicked does not mean that they will be annihilated or cease to exist, but they will, however, experience eternal torment in the lake of fire for their sins eternally. It is not too late for you and for me. Maybe this year was not the greatest year for you spiritually. Maybe this was the year where you feel like you've dropped the ball spiritually. Maybe this has been the year, and as you listen to this sermon, you feel like you relate more and more to the wicked. I'm here this evening to say Christ is calling you. Christ wants you to experience His grace. Christ wants to forgive you of all your sin. Maybe you're just broken. Maybe this has just been a horrid year, and you just felt like you just became apathetic to your faith. Christ is calling you as well. It is not too late for you to get back on the settle and serve God. It is not too late for you to once again experience the joys that only come from God. It is in Christ that we are declared righteous. Do not believe the lies of the devil as he whispers in your ear that God's grace does not cover your sins. Come to the altar this evening and seek His forgiveness. It is not too late to start over and to be counted among the righteous. Because as we see in the next point, there is much rewards for the righteous. Point number 4, be grateful to the rewards given to the righteous. In verse 10 it says, But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. Commentators here suggest that the horn of the wild ox was a symbol of strength. The wild ox was a domestic animal, and it would use its horn for goring either animals or when it was threatened by humans. He does go on to speak also about fresh oil, which was used for the anointing of office, either of the priest or of the kings. Folks, we have been anointed by God's grace. His Spirit has been given to us. When this grace is given to help in time of need, as is received, as there is occasion, from the fullness that is in Christ Jesus, we are then anointed with fresh oil for office, to serve Him and to worship Him. We have reasons, many reasons, to thank God, for His rewards are great. I've only listed but a few here. The first reward is in verse 10. God gives the righteous strength. Again, this could have been a year that brought you many difficult challenges. But remember that the strength that you had to persevere only came from God. His grace is enough for all situations of your life and your sins. We've been given everything we need for life and godliness from His divine power. He's also given us strength like the palm tree to withstand the wiles of the devil. In verse 11 it says, "My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of the evil assailants." A commentator says, as believers in Christ, we are not guaranteed a peaceful experience in the sense of not having to fight against the evil forces of darkness. Rather, we are promised victory in battle as we put on God's armor and trust in Him. The righteous, if you're sitting here and you are a believer in Christ, you are counted among the righteous. And as the righteous, you have strength like the ox. You have strength like the tree in Lebanon. You have strength like the olive tree. He has always been our rock. He is our refuge and our ever-present help in our time of need. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Number two, the second reward. The second reward is that the righteous flourish. As a Christian, you are meant to flourish. You are meant to grow throughout your Christian life. Your faith and your spiritual understanding should continue to increase. Your desire for the will of God should grow. So should your love for Him. Your love and compassion for other people should grow richer and deeper. Your hope in God's future should become more intense. The righteous in the Lord are blessed. We will be blessed. The Lord shows favor to the godly. I hope this evening that as this year comes to an end, that you would be blessed at all the riches that God bestows upon you. And as you think about 2019, my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that as you set your goals, that your main goal will be living a life more reflectant on Christ. Reflect Christ in all that you do in the coming year, whether at work, whether at home, whether at school, college, university, or in social gatherings. Christ must be glorified by our presence there. It is only when we look to live for God that we will experience what is true joy, that we will experience what true peace and contentment is. That is what real flourishment is. You see, flourishing here is not just prosperity in terms of financial riches. But the psalmist here is, when he's talking about prosperity that the righteous will enjoy, he's talking about joy that you experience in the face of storms. He's talking about contentment in the face of lack. He's talking about the strength that you have when you face weakness. That is what God talks about when He says the righteous will flourish. He has given you everything you need. The third reward is settlement in the house of God. Spurgeon again says, "The trees of righteousness do not grow of themselves. They are planted not in common soil, but in paradise, in the house of the Lord." Trees are not usually planted in a house, but God's trees are said to be planted in His house because it is from His grace, by His word and His spirit, they receive all the sap and virtue that keep them alive and make them fruitful. As we look to grow in our faith, church is a vital element of that growth. How has your attendance been this year? As we reflect, 364, how many times did you say, I won't go to church today because, you know, I have something else to do? How has our attendance been this year? The psalmist here says that the righteous are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in His courts. I commend you for being here tonight. When you could have literally been anywhere, it's easier tonight on the 30th of December to stay home. But you chose to be here. My challenge is that you keep the same vigor. You keep the same fire. Even next year, when you face a full schedule of school or work, won't you keep faithful in the house of the Lord? Find yourself planted in the house of God, that God, through His servants, would groom and grow you into the image of His Son. Be praying that God would already today, tonight, show you where He'd want you to serve next year in the church. You see, settlement in the church is not idleness. It is the idea of being in God's house, being in full service in God's house, worshiping Him with His people. And lastly, when I walked in, I was actually grateful that I saw a few elderly folk, because the last point is for you and for us who will eventually get old. Verse 14 says, they still bear fruit in old age. Can I get an amen? They are ever full of sap and green. Why? To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there's no unrighteousness in Him. Nature decays, but God's grace thrives. Fruit, as far as nature is concerned, belongs to days of vigor. But the garden of grace, when plants are weak in themselves, they become strong in the Lord and abound in fruit and acceptance with God. The challenge to the elderly this evening is that God is still using you. South Africa is a predominantly young country. Most of our population in South Africa are mostly young adults, teens, and little children. So the Lord wants to use you. He wants to use your temperament. He wants to use your testimonies, your experiences in the faith to teach and encourage each other and the young. Your blooming in Christ does not stop at 50. God still wants to fatten you, to cause you to flourish and bear much fruit. These verses just prove that God is always with the righteous. As you grow old, maybe now you're 18, one day you'll be 80, but as you grow old, you can know without a shadow of a doubt that God will grow you. He continues to bless and strengthen you. The beauty is that the fruit you bear is not just for us. He says here, the fruit we bear is to point back to Him, to declare that He is good, that He is the rock of the righteous, that it is He who is in Christ that He has kept and blessed by the Almighty. This is all the more reason for us to come together and praise God and thank Him for His steadfast love and His faithfulness in our lives. As I close, won't you this evening remember to give thanks to God? Won't you remember this evening that it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to His name, O Most High? What are you grateful for this evening? It is 364 of 365. We've experienced many days and we're still alive by His grace and His grace alone. What are you grateful for this evening? When you go to bed this evening, may I challenge you to do something different. Won't you thank Him for His faithfulness this day? That He woke you up. And that He woke you up, won't you thank Him for His steadfast love? And when you wake up again tomorrow morning, won't you just wake up and say, God, thank You for Your steadfast love, before we even check on those WhatsApp and Instagram messages. I pray that this will become a habit as we go into the new year, remembering the faithfulness of God and His steadfast love to His saints. But the truth is, we will never be grateful to God if we do not acknowledge Him as God. If we do not acknowledge God as our rock and the rock of our salvation, it will be impossible to give Him gratitude. So this evening I say it is not too late to change our minds on who God is. For surely we must have tasted and seen that He is good. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank You once again for the fact that, Lord, this whole day we could just be meditating about being grateful to You. Father, may our prayers be filled with gratitude to the fact that You've been such a gracious God to us. We've experienced Your mercies. God, You've went to the extent of sending Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. God, I pray if there's one in this room, Lord, who falls under the wicked, Lord, won't Your Spirit already minister in their hearts? Because God, it is a terrible thing to fall under the hands of an angry God. I pray, Lord, that You would just change their hearts to see and acknowledge You as God and believe in You for their salvation. Lord, not just the salvation of our souls, but Lord, the salvation of our day to day. Thank You, God, for Your providence. Thank You, God, that You will forever fulfill Your promises. Thank You, God, that You are God. And God, as we leave this place, may we forever just be thinking and grateful that You've kept us this long. And may You keep us another day just to be grateful that You've kept us through this whole year. And God, we thank You and acknowledge that surely You've been good to us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.